Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
Do you have enough biceps to actually show off? That's a question. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Like you.
Now he's flexing.
This is kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, very.
For me at least.
No, that's fine. I think the tight shirts are okay as long as they're not skin tight and they are the right length.
Okay, all right. But from a professional standpoint, what do you advise for Shep? Because he wants to be an NBA insider, and right now he's dressed like he's going to the gym. So what does he need to do?
Well, where are you trying to go in this outfit?
That's a great question.
Or your life.
Wherever the good Lord takes me. No, I'm just kidding.
You can wear that to church.
Thank you, right. Or temple, depending on what your denomination
exactly.
is. Right.
Oh, God. How uncomfortable is Shep on the air every single time we do anything with him? That was Extreme Jakeover with Lisa Ramos in studio. One of the ones stuck in the chimney. Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got your Target Demo Friday coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll hear what you're doing as you listen to the show, how you're listening, and where you're at. Tonight, the Pac-12 championship game. Joining us for the Pac-12 Network with pre- and post-game coverage of the championship game tonight and bowl selections on Sunday is our friend Mike Yam. Yeah, Mike, good morning.
Morning, Matt. It's been too long, and you're right. It is the most wonderful time of the year because we got the championship game tonight. So certainly pumped for it.
My only question to lead things off is, why have you not responded to Bogish's last two text messages?
Okay, first of all, I was the last person to text him. Mm. Number one, I saw him on screen. He was working with you, and I got excited just because I don't get to see him, obviously, in person too often. So when he's on television, I was like, oh, yeah, that's my guy. Took a picture of it, texted it to him. He hit me back. I had like one of those, you know, like you got the iPhone, you do the double tap, and there's like a different like ha-ha, thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah, I gave him a ha-ha, and I thought that was efficient as a response.
No, absolutely. If you gave him the quick tap ha-ha, that should be enough for Bogish.
No doubt. Like, I hope he's not upset. I mean, we go way back, so like I don't want there to be like bad feelings, but in my world, the ha-ha, the double tap is definitely sufficient as a response.
Yeah, no, that's sufficient. I guess he's needy this time of year. That's my only guess here.
Well, his little guy just had a birthday, so I can understand, like, emotionally, he just might be feeling a little bit older.
That's true. That's true. The mortality is setting in. Hey, let me ask you about Utah, okay? What doesn't America know about the Utah Utes going into tonight's game?
Well, I think America knows that they are one of the elite defenses in the country. They might not know that they are at least historically great against the run. Since 96, they actually have the fourth fewest yards per game allowed. They're giving up 56 per game. One guy has hit the century mark all season, and that's Eno Benjamin at Arizona State. The beauty of this, though, if you're a Utah fan, you could point to that, but then say that their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, threw for 25 yards. So this defense, I think everyone understands it's really good. I don't know if they fully understand how good it is. And then on top of that, I'd argue, like, offensively, they're a really complete team. Tyler Huntley is arguably one of two or three quarterbacks who I would put in the most efficient category, which I feel like is a little bit of a knock because you hear efficiency at the quarterback spot, and a lot of times you think to yourself, oh, game manager. He is not a game manager. He's asked to do be efficient. And look, I mean, this guy is thrown for 300 yards on 18 passes this year. You know, most guys are throwing, and especially in this day and age, college football, you're throwing 40, 50 times to get into those types of numbers. Not to mention they have a Sunday running back in Zach Moss. I mean, tonight's game is going to be competitive, but as far as Utah being an elite program, there's no doubt in my mind that as long as Georgia loses, they're one of the four best teams on selections on the NBA in college basketball. But once we get to bowl selections, they're going to be in the playoff.
I think you're right. I think if Georgia loses and Utah wins, they're the fourth best team in America. Now, I do wonder about brand recognition of Oklahoma, but I mean, Oklahoma has not been all that great this year. And Oklahoma's been hammered in the playoff the last couple of seasons, so I don't know why you'd automatically put them in. Do you think if Utah got in, they could stick with the top three teams?
Absolutely. Look, I think Ohio State's the best team in college football right now. But to your point, Oklahoma to me is not going to be one of the four best. They are limping into, potentially one of these bowl games and certainly their championship game. And I've had other people say to me, well, if they beat Baylor, they're the seventh ranked team, that should be good enough. Think about this. The committee has already had Utah every single week in front of Oklahoma without a win against the current top 25, which to me means the committee's sitting there going, yo, we're football people, and we know that Utah is a better football team. The margin between 7 and 13 to me is like basically a push. Some people might think I'm ridiculous saying that, but what's going to happen if Oklahoma beats Baylor? All of a sudden, that's going to be a significantly better win than Utah beating Oregon. I just don't see it. I think the committee, there's a reason why they've been in front of Oklahoma this entire time.
Mike Yam joins us, Pac-12 Networks, ahead of tonight's Pac-12 championship game. So aside from Zach Moss being injured in that USC game, that's the one blemish on Utah's track record right now. What went wrong that night for Utah?
It's a great question because people will focus in on that game, and I understand the narrative. They'll say Zach Moss was banged up and missed the majority of it. All good, and obviously that was a factor. There was a couple explosive plays in that game. Michael Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyler Vaughns from USC. They got Sunday NFL dudes. I'd make an argument SC's got the best trio of wide receivers in the country, but let's not forget, you go back to the tape, Julian Blackman, also a Sunday DB sitting on that Utah roster, he literally just lost his footing and fell. So that's a score right there. And I think it was Jalen Johnson who just tripped. I mean, we were in Salt Lake City the week after that game. They smashed Washington State. And you talk to those players, and they're like, yo, we went back to the tape. Not to be disrespectful to USC, but that was a fluke. I mean, the way we lost that game. And you can't help but think that they're right. This team has been mission-minded. You know, DA, they're beating teams during this eight-game winning streak by 29 points per game. That's the largest margin in the country. They're not just getting by. They are absolutely annihilating their competition. So to me, like, we could point to the SC game and look, they lost, and I understand it's a blemish and the committee is going to point to that. And that's why there's a conversation about that fourth spot between these one loss teams. But the way in which they lost that game, like, I just don't think it's as bad of a loss as other people maybe around the country are perceiving it.
What do you think is the biggest reason USC decided to bring back Clay Helton?
First of all, and I know that when it comes to coaches, being a nice guy only takes you so far. But when I tell you Clay Helton is legitimately one of the best dudes that I've ever been around in college football as a person, he's on the short list. And I think that that's meaningful for a program like that that's had some issues. I think people forget what happened when Lane was there, when Sark was there. You know, the couple interim jobs for him in that time, and SC was on this downward spiral. People forget about that, and the memory is short. Clay steadied the ship. They go and win a Pac-12 championship game. They give us a Rose Bowl win against Saquon Barkley and Penn State. It was one of the best games that I had seen in person, and I understand that last year was not a good campaign for him. He would tell you that, but he revamped. He was told, look, you got to make changes. You go from an offensive-minded coach who goes, you know what, like, I'm going to give the keys to Graham Harrell. I'm going to let him run this air raid offense. They're winning games at some point this season with their third-string quarterback. Not many teams in the country can do that. And at the end of the season, where there's all this talk about Urban Meyer, it's his team pulling out road victories and still playing hard for him. To me, I wasn't all that surprised that Mike Bone decided to bring him back. Now, if there's a year like next year where there's a lot of struggles, I think there's potentially issues there. I'll be honest with you. I think this team is in a pretty good spot for next season.
Mike Yam joins us, Pac-12 Networks. Final question about coaching. I think Chris Peterson comes back and coaches again. He's only 55.
Yeah, God. You know, I watched the press conference and he said, I'm not going to fall for it. And to me, that automatically opens the door. Chris is, I would argue, a top five coach in all of college football. So I think the conference took a hit in that perspective. But Jimmy Lake would have been the next hot name that was out there. So Jen Cohn, their AD, did an awesome job just kind of sliding him in there. And I think he's going to be great. as far as Chris coaching, there's a part of me that says no, just because of the emotional side of it. Like, I really do think he needed to take a step back. And I think there's more to Chris than just football, which I know sounds weird for a guy that's had that much success at that level. I don't know if he comes back. I'd lean maybe towards no. I've thought about this a little bit, and initially I was like, oh, he'll come back in a couple of years, but I don't think he's going to.
So the Washington job is not Alabama. It's not nope. Auburn. So you don't have this crazy, it's not LSU, it's not Ohio State, it's not Michigan, it's not one of these places where every single thing you do is scrutinized. It's not a massive, crazy college football climate there. So if he needs to recharge, what is he stepping away to recharge from?
I mean,
he could have been there forever.
I think everyone in Seattle and Washington alumni would have wanted that. He steadied the ship 2016 there in the college football playoff. I mean, did a remarkable job. I just think the grind, I mean, he's referenced it a little bit. I know, just from the coaching ranks and guys that I've worked with, you know, some mutual friends who have just indicated that I think it just wore on him a little bit, where you're nonstop recruiting. It's every single weekend. And I think Chris while he's a football coach, he's pretty cerebral. Every time I've had a conversation with him, it's not just about football. He's always thinking about his players and how to encourage them to think beyond football. So to me, I just think there's other interests and passions that he has that he's going to try to follow that path instead and use kind of football as his platform.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I think you're right. I think he's one of the best coaches in America, and I'd be surprised if he never comes back, but maybe you're right. Maybe he's just got other things going on in his life. Tonight is the Pac-12 championship game, so you can watch that, and then pre- and post-game coverage with Mike Gamm and company on the Pac-12 Network as Utah tries to sew up a spot in that college football playoff. Mike, it's always good to talk to you. And Bogush, I don't know if you heard that, but when he came on, he said he gave you a ha-ha, so that should be enough.
No, I did. That is true that Mike did send a picture of me to me, and then I wrote back. But if Mike was to scroll up, he will see a text about Chris Peterson that went unanswered, plus a happy birthday text that was not addressed either. Well, those are the ones I was referencing.
A lot of birthday wishes.
It's okay. It's
get lost
fine.
In the shuffle.
We used to be.
Can I just confirm? I don't have those text messages.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
So
I'll show them to DA right now.
Wow.
I'm not saying that you're lying. I'm just saying that they're not there. Now, to be fair, I cracked the back of my iPhone, and I brought it to a certified, store that's like dealing with Apple products, and probably was not the best move. I probably should have just brought it to an Apple store. I've noticed since I've gotten back, a lot of my contacts are gone, and
like excuses. Deal. Let's just get to my update.
Thank you, Mike. Be good, man.
I miss you too, Bogan.
Bye, Michael.
Later, guys.
Mike Gamm joining us from the Pac-12 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.